Good morning, church. Thank you for joining us on this muggy Sunday as we celebrate the ninth Sunday of Pentecost. A few announcements before we get started. We start every week with just gratitude once again for following our guidelines. Thank you all for taking that so seriously. And we are just grateful that we are able to gather and to worship together. Please don't forget CEC will be meeting tomorrow at 7 p.m. I believe we'll be meeting up at the parsonage. Bring a comfortable yard chair to sit in, and we'll have some great opportunities to discuss our upcoming VBS that just happened, and hopefully some CEC activities we can pursue in the fall. And then the other announcement I have to share with you is something you can actually look at in Fellowship Hall. We have two refrigerators we are trying to get rid of. So if you know somebody who would like to take those home, and has the transportation and is willing to do so, or if you know a family in need, we can set something up as well. But we would like to get rid of those. We just got our new refrigerators right as this pandemic started, and we haven't been able, usually you can take, have the city take it away, but unfortunately with the pandemic going on, that's not something that's happening right now. But we would love to give them to a home that could use them. So if you know somebody and they're capable of transporting it, please let me know. Also, please contact Jackie Pasquinelli for any daily text orders or visit the Moravian IBOC website. Pre-order discounts last until August 13th. So if you want that daily text early and you want that 10% discount, get that in by August 13th. You can also drop a check in the offering plate. Just make sure you put on the memo line what it's for. Those are our announcements this morning. At this time, let us stand and extend the right wave of fellowship. Everybody up? You may be seated. Our watchword for the week this week, it comes from Psalm 145, verse 9. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all that he has made. Amen. Apologize, Paul, I flipped these in the bulletin, but we're actually going to go to our responsive liturgy right now, so my bad with that. But what I wanted to do right now is take the opportunity for us. Remember, in our responsive liturgy, this is our opportunity to pray together. Pray together as God's people. As we heard Angie play in our hymn, we are called to be God's people. And liturgy is prayer. It's the ability to pray together. And in this new world we live in, we have the opportunity to write some of our own prayers. when we're not able to do responsive reading like we'd like to. And I think it brings some new creative ways to look at God. So what I'm going to ask us to do, we're going to do this in three phases. It's going to be thanksgiving, confession, and then personal praise. So what we're going to do for the first question you have is we're going to start with the section of thanksgiving. And I'm going to split you up into three groups. So this side of the room, I want you to focus on thanksgiving, that things you want to give thanks to God for locally in your life. So home, family, city, those type of things that you want to give thanks to God where it's locally. My middle group, you're going to be given the good old U.S. of A. Give me things in this country that you're thankful for right now that God is doing amongst us. And our last group, you're going to get the entire world. You got the easy part. Give thanks, or the difficult part, depending on what your theology is right now. You are going to give thanks for something in the world right now that God is doing. So world, United States, and then locally. So take a minute and just list things that you're thankful. All right, take another 30 seconds. Everybody's got local people. What are we giving thanks for locally? Family, school, Miller's Creamery, praise the Lord. New football field, historical sites, geocaches, family, church, family, pets, food, mom's love. Oh, air conditioning, praise the Lord, right? See what Tyler's got. Jobs, friends, family, parks, library, police, lessons, sports, teachers. All right, I like that. Angie, what do you got? Home, family, school, having a job, church, absolutely. All right, we've gone locally. Let's go to the United States of America. What do you got? National discussions, changes that are taking place. Freedom to pray, freedom to worship, freedom, parks. Mark's got an abundance. The American military. Mark's got a lot of family members, a lot of children who are serving our country right now. I put just our resilient spirit and learning more about our history. I think that's happening more now as we look at this pandemic and think we're the generation that has been afflicted by most, but then we look at those who grew up in the World War II era and the World War I and those who went through the Great Depression, and it puts some of our suffering in perspective, and we learn that resiliency is a part of our story. All right, world people, what do you got? What are you thankful for in the world? That they still grow coffee so I can have my morning cup of coffee. We'll take it. There we go. Thankful it's still here. Amen. Family, neighbors, health, food and water. Absolutely. Thank you all very much. That's a good place to start from. So what I'm going to ask you to do now is to erase your boards. And what we're going to do is go to more of a personal and family time. And this question's a little bit more serious. What I'm going to ask you to do now is we're entering a period of what I would like to call confession. And normally, Normally this would be something where we would just say a prayer and we would ask God to universally forgive all our sins. But what we have the opportunity is to be a little bit more personal with God. And we as Protestants, as soon as we hear the word confession, our little Protestant ears start to poke up and we say, oh no, we're not doing that thing with the priest in the booth. And that's not what confession is about. And confession is about having that relationship with God. And if you look at Luther and Zinzendorf and other people like that, they were never against confessing their sins. They were against only saying you can confess your sins to a priest. You can confess your sins to priests, or I'm sorry, you can confess your sins to your neighbor, to God directly. And you can confess your sins to anybody. So what I want you to do right now is take a minute or two in your family unit and think of some of the sins and the mistakes and things that you've done. Now, I'm not asking for specific examples. So let's say if the Brewers had a 6-2 lead in the bottom of the eighth on Tuesday night and they blew it, I don't want to know the specific vocabulary you used when that happened. What I just want you to say is maybe you weren't as grateful as you were for the 5-run comeback they had on Monday night. So look for those things. Just start, maybe I wasn't as gracious as I wanted to. Maybe I wasn't as compassionate as I needed to be. So you don't need to necessarily list every litany of sins, but just think about those specific traits that you need to work on better or have God impact you more. So take a minute or two and think about that. And write, please. And if your prayer feels more personal, you don't have to show your board up. You can just keep it looking towards yourself. Take another minute. Ten seconds. All right, those of you that would like to share at this time, please share your boards. If you don't want to, you can keep yours. But for me, I said I've been selfish about sports going away. I've thought about what it means to me, not so much to the athletes who are making sacrifices. Too much of letting social media dictate my attitude. Letting it get me down too much and not being the positive and hopeful person that God wants me to be. And I've definitely rushed to judgment about difficult decisions that leaders in communities and throughout our countries have made and maybe not understood about how difficult it could be. But Paige has got not being nice. Sometimes we yell at our parents. Sometimes we're not as helpful. Sometimes we're not as calm as we want to be. School guidelines, not very happy. I think there's a lot of people, Lord, hear our prayer right there. And then family, or other needs, hope for other people, patience, different people, kindness to your siblings. I think that's a good one for all of us to carry. Fear, that's a big one. More forgiveness, love, giving, lack of patience. My sister and me have not been getting along. That's one where we can all work on. I think sibling, maybe I need a sermon focused on sibling love today. Maybe that's where God is guiding us. Procrastination, impatience. So as you lift up your boards, and some of you may not have written anything, but I want you to know that God hears your prayers, God forgives your sins, and the real cool thing about what we have is that when you confess your sins to God and you say, God, forgive me for my sins, you can literally do what God has just done for you, and you can wipe away those sins as God wipes them for you. And our last question is one we're going to end with praise. I want you to list as many things in your personal life that you can give praise to God for, ways God has personally impacted you this week. Take another 30 seconds. All right, let's see what you got. What are you thankful? What praises you have to lift up to God today? Let's see what you got. What does Jacob got? Kittens, house, family, jobs, college, friends, family, health, living in this country, income, friends, jobs, church, band, and choir. Getting my ears pierced, Paige. You're tougher than I am, that's for sure. I can never do that. TV in school, lunch with the girls, family visits. Tyler's got football with friends. I saw some of you guys got drafted this week. Baseball with friends, home, food, jobs, absolutely. Mary Frances is healthy and ready to give birth to a child. That's wonderful. I've got a friend whose wife is due any day, and we're celebrating that. Family, finances, selling my shop, friends, family, pets, food. For God, He sees us through all things, absolutely. Job, shelter, food, family, friends, family, church, friends, health. All these things are wonderful. Help with tough decisions, family. And then the one I wanted to share with you is we got to see the Baltic Conservation Club yesterday. Don and Becky brought us out there, and it was a reminder to be still and know that I am God. And we also got to spend some time with some extended family on both sides of our family this past month for the first time in a long time. And that truly was a blessing from God. So as you uplift these praises, remember the God that is local and personal is the same God that is working through the country and is the same God that is working through our world. And as we write this liturgy together, may we uplift all these prayers together, knowing that God is caring for us, God is watching us, and God is loving us. Amen. We now turn to a time of corporate prayer. Grab my sheet. So in our prayer concerns, once again, we'll do things very similar to last week. If you have any personal prayer concerns to write, please put them on your whiteboard. I'm going to ask, Delene is in charge of our prayer chain. Her and I can't always see or remember all the prayers you put on your whiteboards. So if there's something you'd like the wider church to pray for, please call her or text her after the worship service. And actually, starting next week, I'm going to talk to the elders, but we'll have somebody in the kitchen with the book. That way they can take your prayer concerns from a socially distant spot, and that way we can keep track of them and make sure we're praying together. Let's see. First of all, we continue to pray for COVID-19. We continue to pray for a cure for the 150,000 souls that have been lost, for our school districts, for our children's, for our first responders. Please don't forget about them. I ask you also to take a second, and we celebrate the fact that we can worship together, but there are many in our congregation who are still not able to join us for worship. So I ask that you reach out to them. Say hi to them. Let them know you're thinking about them, because some of them have been holed up for quite a while, and I'm sure they love a phone call, and they love reaching out, and they love hearing from each and every one of us. And then a joy that Emily and I want to share with you, with the congregation, is we wanted to let you know that this week we'll be getting our foster care license to be foster parents. So both of us are very excited about that. So if you see a child showing up with us in the next coming weeks, we did not steal it from the neighborhood. It was given to us. but we're excited. We'll send out some more information whenever we get aware of more information. We'll give you some help with that, how we can nurture and take care of this. But I'm excited that we as a congregation will get the opportunity to welcome another child to our church family, and I know we'll do a good job of that, and we're very excited about those next steps. So what we're going to do now is take some time to reflect on our prayers that Paula will share with us, listen to Angie's music. If you have a personal prayer that you would like to share, please write them on your whiteboard, please. At this time, those of you that have any prayer concerns to share, I ask that you please stand with your whiteboard. Here's one that I wanted to share from our congregation. Go ahead, Chloe. Yeah. Absolutely. And then before we enter our silent time of prayer, I want to ask those of you that are joining us online, also remember everybody traveling to and from family vacations or get together, those that have to quarantine, some that do not as well, but please continue to uplift them in prayer. And the other one that I wanted to share was I got public permission to share this, but Terry, I got this one from Terry. He hooked the biggest fish at the Baltic Conservation Club. The only problem was it was himself, so he got himself on his hand. So he was in the emergency room Saturday, but he's okay. He's doing fine. Just a little embarrassed, and he did catch a bigger fish in place of that, so he did win the battle after all, but we uplift Terry in prayer as well. Let us take some silent time in prayer. Gracious God, we come before you and we just ask that you open our eyes, our ears, and our heart to feel your presence in our lives, to see your presence in our lives, and to hear your presence in our lives. Help us to slow down when life feels so fast, when social media keeps revolving a 24/7 out day. Help us to just be still and know that you are God. And then we can trust in that and believe in that and know that truth in our heart. Gracious God, we have so many prayer concerns to uplift to you today. People we're thinking about, people who are sick, people who are recovering, people who are heartbroken, people who are just upset and depressed that they can't do the things that they would love to normally do this summer. But help them to know that you, God, are there with them. You, God, are not just sitting there on the cloud. You, God, are within those prayers, and you are reminding those people that your love will abide in them, and the love of their neighbors and their families will abide in them as well. And we just want to say thank you. Thank you for the gift of life. And as we hear the story of the feeding of the 5,000 today, help us to be that people of abundance, who see not what we lack, but what we have given. But we know that our attitude and our faith can be some of the most powerful gifts that we have been given. In your blessed and gracious name we pray. Amen. At this time, we turn our attention to our offering. And remember, once again, we're not physically passing an offering plate out. But if you're leaving and you still have an offering to give, there is a plate in the back for you to give. But one of the things before we turn it over to Angie for music is I just want to encourage you, if you haven't had a chance to read your quarterly letter that we've sent out via email, some of you may receive that in the mail if you haven't already, is I want to just say thank you. Thank you for the generosity of this church, because many people have stepped up and allowed us to maintain our ministry with no hitches. And actually, we're in some of the best financial shape we've been in a long time. And that has to do with the generosity of everyone. And we just want to say thank you. It's so nice as a pastor not to have to knock on your door with a handout and say, hey, we need this for that. And now we can just say, thanks. And we truly mean it. Let's keep it up. Let's finish this year strong. We're near five of our repayment program, and we are on pace to have that paid off before January, and we are so grateful for that. And we ask you also to continue to think about the organizations in our community that need our help as well. So many, our food pantry, our clothing operations, a lot of them are overwhelmed and they need our support. So let us now give of our tithes, our offerings, and our gifts.
Let us pray. Gracious God, help us to seek nourishment in your presence and in your word. Guide us to see our lives not from a place of scarcity, but from a place of abundance. Remind us of the wonderful gifts we have been given. Amen.
Amen.
Our first scripture lesson is from Isaiah 55:1-5. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me, and eat what is good, and you will delight in the riches of fare. Give ear and come to me, listen that you may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the people, a ruler and commander of the people. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations you do not know will come running to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Our second scripture is from Matthew 14:13-21. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowd followed him on foot from the town. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so that they can go to villages and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." "We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. "Bring them here to me," he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 baskets full of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men besides women and children.
Amen. Thank you, Becky. At this time, we'll turn our attention to our children's chat. And for those of you that are guests with us, the first Sunday of the month is always a youth Sunday. So the kids are invited to bring their toys to worship, and I preach my children's lesson based on the toys that they bring. And now COVID has added an extra layer to that, so instead of them bringing them forward to me, they have their toys hidden under the bucket and made my job a little bit more challenging because I can't see their toys until the second it appears, but we try to have a little fun today. So what we're going to talk about today is abundance, the good stuff that God gives us. And abundance is a big word, kids, but it reminds us of all the things that God has given us, and it's more than we need sometimes. So we're going to start in this direction, actually. We'll give Brandon a second to find his toy. Aubrey, what do you got for me? What's in your bucket? Is that a fidget spinner? All right. And those are fun, and those are toys that are a great example of abundance. Because do you play with your spinner a lot? Yeah, because we think, oh, it's just a little spinner. But that little spinner can keep us fun and occupied and out of trouble sometimes, right, Mom? Once in a while, yep, there we go. And it can be a lot of abundant joy that gives us. Rylan, what do you have? Is that a caterpillar? There we go. Oh, okay. Well, it looks very nice. And seeing stuff like that is so awesome, and it does remind me of a caterpillar, actually. And we just got to see some caterpillars turn into butterflies from some friends who had butterflies that were actually given caterpillars, from the Norma Johnson Center, and they got to see them grow. And sometimes we don't appreciate those things until they turn into something big and beautiful. But little do we know, it's beautiful right there, and it has an abundance of gifts to offer God. Paige, what do you got for me? Oh, Paige has got her teddy bear. Or is it a ladybug teddy bear? It's a flying ladybug teddy bear. I'm not sure how it self-identifies right there, but we'll go with it. So the ladybug flying teddy bear. Now, if that thing lived an abundant life, or if it didn't live an abundant life, it would probably be upset saying, what am I? Trying to figure out, am I a ladybug? Am I a doggy? Or am I all these other things? But if it enjoys everything it's been given, the wings the horns and the ladybug attitude, the mindset that it can accomplish anything, then it knows that it can live an abundant and joyous life. All right, Caster Boys, what do you got for me? Brandon, go ahead. Did a good work. Nunchucks. Oh, my gosh. Okay. I've never preached about an abundant knife with nunchucks before, but... So that's a great example of how we can exercise our love for God. And if we're doing that with our nunchucks, we can know that God loves us, God cares for us, and even in a small act of exercising, we can feel God's love and praise. And as long, especially if we're not using it on our father or our brothers or our mothers next to us and keeping them safe as well, we can celebrate God's love. Tyler, what do you got for me? Oh, is that a Flintstone? I like it. Is that Barney? That's Barney. And now, is it Barney? Is that Fred's best friend? Okay, I got to remember my brush up on my Flintstones. Now, Barney is a perfect example of abundant living. Because who's the star of the Flintstones? Fred Flintstone, right? And it's easy to forget about good old Barney. And Barney could spend his whole time complaining, why am I not a star like Fred? Why am I not the star of the bowling team? But Barney learns to take joy in his life, to live an abundant life, to have gratitude and joy. So whether it's nunchucks, Barney, a flying ladybug, dog, unicorn, a caterpillar, or a fidget spinner, sorry, Ryland, all of those things can remind us of the abundance of love that we get from God. And we can exercise it just like those nunchucks and know that God's love is there for us. All right, let's take a deep breath and let's pray. Gracious God, we want to give you thanks for these kids and reminding them that they have an abundance that has already been given to them. An abundance of love, an abundance of grace, an abundance of mercy. So when they get anxious about the next steps that happen with school and this fall, help them to know that you, God, will take care of them. You, God, will love them, and you, God, will provide for them. And all of us, help us to live in that truth and to breathe it every single day of our life. In your blessed and gracious name we pray. Amen. Let's now turn our attention to our message. In our message today, we look at this passage of feeding the 5,000. And I have to be honest with you, the miracle of feeding the 5,000 is one of the most difficult miracles to preach on to a crowd of people who have grown up in the church. Because if you know the history of this miracle, it is the only miracle that appears in all four Gospels of the Bible in a different version, other than the resurrection of Christ. And many of you might have heard the story of this miracle more than you have heard the Christmas story or even the Easter story. So how do we keep ourselves from zoning out during this passage, the passage that some of us have heard hundreds of times? How do we keep ourselves from getting bored with this miracle that Christ performs? We have to challenge ourselves to look at it from different angles, different perspectives. Remember, that is why we have four Gospels, why we are blessed with four different Gospels, because each of them give us a different perspective, a different slice, a different audience that they're writing to. And what I want you to think about today is think about what happened before this moment in our scripture. And we didn't have it in our gospel reading today, but in many of the gospel passages, what happens immediately prior to the feeding of the 5,000 is the death of John the Baptist. Jesus loses his best friend, his companion, his cousin who grew up down the street from him. This wasn't just a small loss. This was a huge and devastating loss for Jesus. John the Baptist, loses his life, and the disciples that are sitting around Jesus have to live with the reality that Jesus or God did nothing to stop it. John was an innocent man, and God did nothing to stop it. And Jesus himself is mourning. He's lost his best friend. The disciples are grieving. They're scared, they're anxious, they're worried about what happens next. And if you think about it, the disciples in this moment are thinking exactly like people in our country are thinking about today. They're scared. They're anxious. We're worried about the future. And we're asking the question, why isn't God doing anything to stop it? Why isn't God stopping COVID-19 or racism or all these other sins and difficulties that we are facing? And the disciples are living and breathing that same question in this passage. And so we have to think about that. What do we do when we don't get the answers to the questions that we were hoping to? So what I want you to do now is to take out your whiteboard, and I want you to tell me about how you self-care for yourself when you're struggling with a difficult question. What do you do to help yourself when you are grieving or feeling depressed? What do you do to help yourself when you are feeling grieving or depressed? Take a second and write a few thoughts down. Take another 30 seconds. Let's see what you got. What are some things you do to cope with some of the stresses and struggles in your life? I read a book. That's one of the best things to help me to slow down. In our household, we watch Parks and Rec in the office on a definitely long day or a hard day. Absolutely. It helps us. And then spend silent time with God. When I'm not doing anything and just being with God, that can help me. Let's see. I put my mom's sweater around me like a hug. I love that image. I think that's really cool. Bath bomb. I think that's awesome. Sleep. Cry it out. I think that's drink not coffee or tea. Absolutely. Sometimes that gets us going. Eat chocolate. There we go. Pray. Read the Bible. Focus on blessing. No news. I think taking a 24-hour social media break sometimes can be very beneficial. Time with family. Go for a drive. That's been a big one in our household since this pandemic has started. I'm sure a lot of you have, but it's amazing how much beautiful country we have right in Tuscarawas County. Netflix. What's Millie got? Read. Prayer. Ignore it or deal with it. Absolutely. Think about joys we still have. Counting our blessing. Listen to music. Go outside and listen to nature. Meditation. Grey's Anatomy. Absolutely. That intimidates me because I see it. What is it, like 17 seasons long? I'm a little worried about making that big of a time investment in something. Talking to family about it. Pray. Listen to music. Go outdoors. Go to God and pray for answer. Think about the good things and how we could have it worse. That was always my grandmother. Is always think about somebody who could have it worse off than us. And I think all of you shared some good and productive and insightful things there. And what I want you to think about is, how did Jesus handle it? What was his mindset? Because in this passage, the solution that Jesus offers is service. Jesus decides to get to work, to help others. That's the best thing that is going to help him out of a difficult patch. Gordon B. Hinckley said, The best antidote I know for worry is service. The best cure for weariness is the challenge of helping someone who is even more tired than you are. He or she who serves almost always benefits more than he or she who is served. And any of you who've gone on a mission trip can probably attest to it. You are changed far more than the people you are helping. The gratitude that is released from your heart is so powerful. And what I don't want you to hear is workaholism. I don't want you to think that's what Jesus is asking you to invest in, because there's a difference between service and work. And Jesus is not calling us to be workaholics by any stretch of the imagination. Jesus is teaching us that service can be so beneficial to us, that sometimes the best way out of our pits of despair is to help lift someone out of theirs. Jesus is equipping us, strengthening us, because guess what? It's easy to lift yourself up, but if any of you have ever tried to lift up another human being, you know how difficult and challenging that can be. But after you lifted that person up, you realized, hey, maybe I'm a little bit stronger than I realized I was. And that's exactly Jesus' mindset to teaching us about service, is that our strength comes from our ability to help one another. And writer Neil Chapel said, life is not about the disappointments we face. Life is not about the sum of defeats. Life is how we respond. How do we respond to the difficult circumstances that happens to us? And I want you to think about that, because that's what Jesus is teaching us. We don't get to choose what happens to us in our life. None of us get to choose it. It comes to us. And none of us get to choose what happens to our loved ones. None of us gets to choose what happens to this world. The only thing in life we get to choose is our response to those circumstances. And that is why there are some people who can face a litany of challenges and obstacles in their lives, and they find joy and gratitude. And there are people who never find happiness despite having all the money, all the power, all the gifts given to them, because their responses are negative when their responses should be positive. And I want you to think about how empowering that can be. And I think I've shared this story with you before, but my mom has worked in a nursing home for 30 years as an occupational therapist. And I'm sure, Stacy, you're a therapist as well. You could probably relate to that. But the power of attitude of the people she works for is so profound and so different. And she's seen people who've come in with sprained toes, more or less, or something very minuscule like that, and they've complained the whole time, and they've done nothing to progress that. And she's also seen people who suffered from dementia, strokes, all the litany of things that you never think you'd be capable of facing, and they put a smile on their face and they go to work to improve themselves every day. And that's because they've chosen to respond in a positive and a godly and uplifting way. And that leads us to think about it, because maybe our responses are not so drastic. Maybe we're not entirely negative or 100% gung-ho positive. But sometimes we got to remind ourselves to step up our game a little bit, because we have to choose which perspective we want to see the world from. Do we want to be the people who have only seen what has been taken from us, or do we want to be the people that see what is given to us? Let's be those people. Let's be God's people that see the gifts, that see the joys, that see the gratitude. And I want you to think about, in this miracle, the disciples got to see a vision of the world and what it would look like if everybody lived an abundant life. If they looked and saw that they had enough, and that enough could be transferred not just to themselves, but to everyone around them. That's what Jesus allowed them to see. How would that impact how you live your life? Because imagine if you woke up every day knowing that you are blessed with enough love to get you through that day, from the start of that day. Every single day, God has given you enough love in your heart to live a wonderful and awesome day. How does that change your attitude? What insecurities are you willing to let go of? What material items could you live without? Those things to keep up with the Joneses, to say, oh, I'm successful and happy, but maybe that successful and happy thing is causing debt or other insecurities or other things. Because we have to find it within. And I've shared this Socrates story with you before, but it's one that I think is important because gratitude is one of the most important attributes to a Christian. And when Socrates was a philosopher, he would live a life with very few possessions. But one of his favorite things to do every week was to go to the marketplace. And he would never buy anything. And this naturally frustrated all of his disciples because they were spending every single week in the marketplace looking at all these wonderful, big, and beautiful things and never buying anything. It's like he was a cheap boy, living with my father sometimes. I'm just kidding. Or living with me sometimes, as my wife would tell you. But what Socrates would say when his disciples finally asked him, why are we in this marketplace every day? Why are we checking these things out? And Socrates' response was this, because I'd love to see all the things in this life that I am happy without, the things that I do not need. And I encourage you to think about that, to do that once in a while. Don't try to keep up with the Joneses. You don't even know who the Joneses are. Nobody knows who the Joneses are. But go to that fancy car dealership. Look at that $50,000 or $60,000 Mercedes and see that you don't need it. Go look at the houses that cost $500,000 in Canton or Sugar Creek and see that the house you have is already more than you need. It's already more than you need because you have been blessed. You have been gracious. And when we let go of those insecurities, when we let go of our need for materialism, what we are left with is God-given abundance. The idea that we have more than enough every single day. Every day we live, every day we breathe. So your question now for your whiteboards is, how could living Christ's vision of abundance change your life? How could living Christ's vision of abundance change your life? I want you to answer that one on your whiteboard. How can living an abundant life change how you live? Take another 30 seconds. it. Let's see what you got. How could living Christ's vision of abundant life change your life? Not waiting for something to make us happy. Just be happy because you can. I'm definitely guilty of that. I'm always the one saving for the future and not thinking about the happiness that could be happening in the present. Worry less. Focus on the blessings. Look for positives in negative situations. Absolutely. Growth opportunities. Anybody else have anything they want to share? Get rid of excess stuff. More at peace. Less stress. God gives us all we need now, knowing that, living that. Give us peace. Be grateful for what we have. All those are wonderful things. I had similar answers. I said, less stress about finances. Worrying about if there's going to be enough. There's always enough. Worry less about being liked. Knowing that I'm loved by God, that should be a lot more important than knowing the number of likes we have. And then learning to see my challenges as opportunities. Opportunities to grow in faith, opportunities to grow in love, and opportunities to grow in compassion. And I hope all of you, even those of you that didn't get an opportunity to share, are thinking about those personal connections of abundance. Because if we really want to see ourselves as Christians that transform the world right now, there's so much negativity going on. People who are just talking about not having enough this, not having enough that, not having enough security, not having enough certainty. We could change this world by being the people that are grateful, by saying that God has already taken care of it, God has already provided, and that's why I can live in safety and security and gratitude. Because you've seen what God can do with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He can feed 5,000 people, plus women and children. So what God can do for this entire world, it is limitless. So I want you to just live at a little more ease this week, a little bit more comfort, and know that God is taking care of you. God is watching you, and God is guiding us to gratitude, one of the most important spiritual gifts that we can have. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, please continue to strengthen our hearts and just remind us to live in a spirit of gratitude, to be grateful for this day, to be grateful for each breath, to be grateful for the love that surrounds us. And help us to know that we don't need to live our lives according to the material possessions of others. All we need to focus on is possessing your faith in our hearts. And when we have that, we can see we don't need all the excessive things. But what we need is an internal and compassionate and everlasting. And those are the gifts that we feel from you and from your presence. In your blessed and gracious name we pray. Amen. Let's now listen and reflect on our final hymn. Thank you. I share with you the words of our benediction, I just want to make a brief announcement. Emily has gift bags for our kids who participated in our scavenger hunt. So make sure you grab one of those. That's just our way of the CUC of saying thank you for participating. We're looking forward to that. And don't be surprised if Pastor Ben calls you and asks a few questions, trying to get some quotes from you for our story for the Moravia. But we'll look forward to that. For our benediction, go forth knowing that you have all you need. Enough money, enough time, enough talents, and enough gifts. And know that the love that you feel in your heart can carry you. It can carry you to your neighbor, to your community, and to your world. So live in this abundance. Breathe in this abundance and carry it with you as your footsteps leave this place. And know that you are enough because God created you. And God creates holy, wonderful, and amazing things. In His blessed and gracious name we pray. Amen. At this time, I will now dismiss families. Jim Karcher, go ahead. You may head out. Thank you all for joining us.